Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. As I have for the last 6 weeks, I want to encourage you, if you haven't obtained a free copy of Ralph Martin's booklet entitled The Final Confrontation, just go to our number that's given at the end of this program, a toll-free number at the end of this program. You'll hear it. Call that number and just simply ask for a copy of the free booklet, and it will be sent to you. As I said, I encourage, if you have any thoughts about it as you read it, please send me a letter. You can send it to Renewal Ministries at 230 Collingwood Street, Ann Arbor, Michigan, 48103. 48103. I'd just be very interested in your reflections on that pamphlet. And in late August or early September, I'm going to do a series of programs that I think will highlight some of the qualities and the characteristics that we need to have in for the time in which we live. I'm going to be talking about that later, but I want you to read this booklet first and give me your thoughts and reflections in return. Thank you. Today we look ahead to the readings now for the book of from the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 1 to 2, 9 to 11, and 16 to 20. I'll repeat that. If you have your Bible in front of you, Exodus 19, verses 1 to 2, 9 to 11, and 16 to 20. In the third month, after their departure from the land of Egypt on its first day, the children of Israel came to the desert of Sinai. After the journey from Rephidim to the desert of Sinai, they pitched camp. So let's make sure we've got the situation now, because we're reading of the Israelites' flight from Egypt, from Pharaoh, and the parting of the Red Sea. And Moses takes them through the Red Sea, a miracle in itself. And now they continue their walk in the desert. What I want you to notice most in these readings from Exodus is how God did wonders for his people, how he cared for his people. Yes, there was suffering involved, but he cared for them. He saw them through. And yet the moment, even after some glorious experiences, the next obstacle, they would be pitched back into the same fear, the same doubt, the same discouragement as before. They didn't learn their lessons from the times that God lavished upon them, parting the sea for them to walk through dry shod, says the scripture. That's a miracle. And yet when they met the next obstacle, they did not look back and say, oh, God cared for us there. He's going to care for us now. They didn't do that. They just started to complain. That's the human condition. And it's only by faith that we can change it. In these readings from Exodus, watch how God shaped his people. In the third month after their departure from the land of Egypt, on its first day, the children of Israel came to the desert of Sinai. After the journey from Rephidim to the desert of Sinai, they pitched camp. While Israel was encamped here in front of the mountain, the Lord told Moses, I am coming to you in a dense cloud, so that when the people hear me speaking with you, they may always have faith in you also. Look at the goodness of God. I'm going to prepare your leadership for these people. I'm going to make it better by letting them know that you converse with me. I am coming to you in a dense cloud, so that when the people hear me speaking with you, they may always have faith in you also. When Moses then had reported to the Lord the response of the people, the Lord added, Go to the people, have them sanctify themselves today and tomorrow. Make them wash their garments and be ready for the third day, for on the third day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai before the eyes of all the people. On the morning of the third day there were peals of thunder and lightning and a heavy cloud over the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. But Moses led the people out of the camp to meet God. What if you knew you were going to meet God today? Some of us die quite suddenly, you know. Moses is leading the people outside the camp to meet God. Mount Sinai was all wrapped in smoke, for the Lord came down upon it in fire. The smoke rose from it as though from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. The trumpet blast grew louder and louder while Moses was speaking and God answering him with thunder. Wow, what a scene! When the Lord came down to the top of Mount Sinai, he summoned Moses to the top of the mountain. This sounds like one of those early television shows that would say, tune in tomorrow for the next episode in the life of Moses and the people of God. He stops right here. The reading given to us today stops before God's action. But there are many lessons to draw out of this much. Do we trust our leadership? Do we seek God? Do our leaders seek God? That's the key piece, brothers and sisters. Do our leaders seek God? Not that that makes us infallible. It doesn't. But if with a genuine and sincere heart, people are seeking God, whether it's because of those employed by them or whether it's members of the church, whatever the circumstances, anyone in authority of any kind, if they want that business or that project, whatever it is, to succeed, they need to be with God. You say, wait a minute, that's secular business. That doesn't have anything to do with God. Everything has to do with God. Even in a secular business, the leader of that, if you really want it to be successful, not just for now, but for all eternity, you want to be seeking God. I'm not saying your business lasts for all eternity, but the fruit of the labor, the work of your hands for the good of people, that can last forever. That can resound to generation after generation. Are you putting your time, your energy, your effort into something that's going to lead to eternal good or not? Take a look at what you're doing. And sometimes it's not the work itself, it's the attitude, it's the spirit that you bring to it. You can take something very mundane and make it eternally valuable because of the intention on which you do what you do, the reason why you do what you do. That can make all the difference. It's either simply the work of your hands that dies with you, or it's a sweet-smelling sacrifice that rises before the throne of God. Really. You don't have to be working in the church or for the church directly for something to have eternal value. It's your intention. Why do you do what you do? And how do you do what you do? For what purpose? I want to do all I do for the glory and the honor of God. And we look at the gospel today, the gospel of Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Why do you speak to the crowd in parables?" In other words, why do you keep telling them stories? Why don't you just tell them the truth? And he said to them in reply, "Because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. To anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away." Brothers and sisters, that's not God's mean, that he gives gifts to some people and he withholds them from others. No. What the writer is talking about here is our intent. If we do things for selfish motives, if we do things just to please ourselves, then even what we gain from that will be taken away from us ultimately. But if we do, no matter what it is, preaching the most powerful sermon in the world or washing the kitchen floor, it doesn't matter. It's the intent with which we do things. That's what either is just canceled out, or it rises like sweet-smelling incense before the face of God. your motive, your intention for everything you do has an eternal reward or an eternal repercussion. This is why I speak to them in parables, because they look but do not see and hear but do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, "You shall indeed hear but not understand. You shall indeed look but never see." If you're focused on the earth, you're never going to see the eternal values, the eternal purposes. You're never going to understand. You're never going to see. Gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I heal them. There are many people who cross their arms, who turn their backs, who say, "I'm going to do what I want to do. If there is a God, I don't care what he thinks." I've heard people say that. Those are the kinds of decisions in which you destroy yourself. But if your every thought, word, and action, you seek that your every thought, word, and action brings honor to God just because you do it out of love for him. And it can be cleaning the house. It can be changing a baby's diaper. Really? Really? Or as I said before, it can be giving the most eloquent sermon that the world has ever heard. It doesn't matter. It's the intention that matters. Why do I do what I do? And so often I think people think, oh, well, I'm just cleaning the kitchen. I mean, or making the beds or doing the laundry or all the domestic things that need to be done. And we think, oh, just get these out of the way so then I can, maybe someday I can do something for God. You have the potential to do something for God every day right in your own home. And as you do that, scales will fall from your eyes and your ears will become unstopped and you will see more and more clearly the great hymn of glory that rises before the throne of the Father from hearts that are given to him. That's what God has for you. That's what he wants you to have. So I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, take a long look at motives. Motives are of the utmost importance. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears, if you're following him, if you're seeking, even in your motives, to serve him and love him. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it. They longed for the Messiah, they longed for the Savior, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. We live, brothers and sisters. We live in the age that has seen the coming of the Messiah. Thousands of years people longed for him, but did not see it. We've seen it. Christ is alive in our midst. He is the intercessor before the face of the Father. For heaven's sakes, wake up. If you haven't already, join your motives and your intentions to God for his honor and glory, that you may see, even in this life, a touch of the glory of God. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.